Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Money Making Conversations. It's the show that shares the secrets of success experienced firsthand by marketing and branding expert Rashawn McDonald. I will know. He's given me advice on many occasions, and in case you didn't notice, I'm not broke. You know he'll be interviewing celebrity CEOs, entrepreneurs, and industry decision makers. It's what he likes to do. It's what he likes to share. Now it's time to hear from my man, Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations. Here we go.
Money Making Conversation Masterclass is a show that I bring information to you. It's for everyday people. And I always tell people, you know, don't let anybody stop you from following your dream. Live your dream. Be your dream. Your dream can happen if you want it to happen. That's why I created this show. My next guest is one of the leading people in the financial market. We're going to get into detail about her. But her new book helps younger savers find long-term saving success by overcoming their behavioral biases. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass, Ann Lester. How you doing, Ann?
I'm great. How about you?
Well, Ann, you know, I always tell people when they come on the show, you know, touting all this financial knowledge, I need a little background, I need a little history. What makes Ann so financially smart? Talk to us.
Oh, well, I don't know about smart, but I guess I managed billions of other people's money for about 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Did it pretty well, according to some folks who gave me some awards for it, Morningstar.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I wrote the book, Your Best Financial Life, is because I made every single mistake you could make.
Right.
And, you know, it took me a while to figure out how to not make all the mistakes I was making. So for me, the book is really kind of combining what I learned after, you know, I guess almost 30-year career in asset management with, you know, kind of 15 years of just stupidity and, you know, trying to help people not make those same mistakes.
Right. And the book you're talking about is Your Best Financial Life, Save Smart Now for the Future You Want. Because we're always talking about the future. Is there I know you have the answer to this, but I just want to hear it out publicly because we always get to a certain point we think we can't save anymore. Is there a lockdown point that people need to just stop talking like that because you can save at any age as long as you have a plan? Is that correct?
I think it is for most people. But, you know, I think we have to be honest, like at some points in your life, you just may not, you know, you may just be scraping by to make the rent. And, you know, I don't want to say that everybody can just dig a little deeper and squeeze a little harder because there are some folks I'm sure who are listening to this who can't do that. But one of the things I talk about in my book is you may not be able to do it this second, but you certainly can do it in the future. And the way you get there is to make a commitment. You make a promise to yourself that the next time your income goes up a little bit, the next time you get a little bit of money, that's what you save. Because sometimes you cannot squeeze it out of where you are right now.
You know, it's really interesting because as you go through, as you gain financial success, we tend not to, you know, like for instance, if I operated on the lifestyle I had while I was going to college, but then I got a job, then I upgraded the car, then upgraded the apartment, next thing you know, I'm in a house. We keep upgrading. We keep upgrading.
Yep.
And when you talk about ways to hack your brain to make saving easier, is that the hacking part to stop the upgrades that we tend to invite ourselves to when we get certain levels of financial uplift?
Or that's how do we, is that what you're talking about when you're hacking the brain?
That is a big one, right? Make sure you know, the rule that I give people is save at least half of every raise. And as you say, right, nobody wants to live the life that they were living in college, right, or their first job, right? That's just not very much fun. But if you let yourself take all of your raise and use that on the brand new car, right, you were just talking about Teslas, right? You just want to go buy the fancy Tesla or the fancy whatever.
Right.
And your whole raise goes into that new car payment. You're not getting ahead. And then the next raise you get, you're like, well, I want to remodel the kitchen. And there goes that raise again, right? So what you need to do is get into the habit of not letting yourself use all of that. You know, I call it consumption creep, right? Your lifestyle just keeps getting better and better and better. And if you don't increase your savings rate at the same time, you're really creating a world of pain for yourself in the future, because you will need to have saved more money to maintain that lifestyle when you retire, except that you're not saving anymore.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, like my daughter, she called me the other day. She said, Dad, I want to come sit down with you. Because I always talk about, you know, honey, if you start saving early in your 20s, it's going to be a fantastic life in your 50s and 60s. It's something people told me, and I kind of did it, but I didn't do it. You know, I saved, and I took some money out. And so I kept beating up the plan. I had the plan, but I kept beating it up. Kept pulling out and diverting it. I guess I should use the word diverting it. And now when you sit down, when I sit down with my daughter, and what advice should I initially start communicating with her about the future and money?
So this is the same conversation I had with my son when he graduated from college 5 years ago, which is you have to start saving. And if you can only save a teeny tiny little bit, that's fine. And he started working for a startup that didn't offer a 401k plan. And I was like, all right, then build up your emergency fund first. Make sure you get 3 to 6 months of your living expenses saved up. And that way, if that startup folds, you're not going to be freaking out and moving home. Which you could have done, but, you know, he didn't want to. We didn't, you know, nobody would have liked that outcome. But
right.
but you know, if you start, you know, the building blocks, right? So that first building block is an emergency savings fund. And if you can only put in 25 or 50 bucks a week or a month, like, just start, right? It builds the habit. And then you change the way you look at yourself, and you're suddenly a person who is a saver, right? You're a saver, and you suddenly are like, yeah, I can do this, even if it's not a lot. And then the next time you get that first raise, like, he got a raise, and I was like, all right, you're saving half of that. And then his emergency savings fund was built up, I don't know, not that long, because he got kind of a nice raise. And so he threw all that into his emergency savings fund. And then his company got bought. The company that bought him had a 401k plan. I'm like, all right, take half of that raise that you just got and start throwing it in your 401k plan, right? That's how you get going. And if you start in your 20s, you can start really small, like 1-3% of your salary. And, you know, 5 years later, suddenly you're saving 15-20% of your salary, which is a huge number. But that's really what most people should be targeting out of their paychecks. And you can't do that all at once. Like, it's just too painful.
Okay, cool. So the word we keep using, the word is savings. And that,
yeah.
I want to slow that down, because we're not talking about the traditional saving account that you hear that has very little interest return. We're talking about investing type savings. Are we? That's what we're referencing, correct, Ann?
100%, and I use that as a shorthand, but it's a saving and investing. It's a two-step process, right? Number one, you got to save the money, and for something like your emergency savings, you could put it in the traditional bank savings account. Right now, you don't get paid any interest, so that's not great, and you should find a high-yield savings account for that, but that should be in a place you can access it quickly, and that I would not invest that emergency savings at 3 to 6 months. I would not invest that in, like, the stock market. But your retirement money, right, your long-term savings, if you think you might want to buy a house in 10 years, right, if you're saving money for something that's longer than 5 years away, you should definitely be investing that in a mix of stocks and bonds.
Now, your book, Your Best Financial Life, Save Smart Now for the Future You Want. Now, what I want to also look back on is that, you know, I'm older, you know, and look back on mistakes. You can't look back on the spilled milk decisions that you made financially, because that can hurt your decision making in the future. You have to really stay focused on the plan, and you put that plan in place. Do you, if you're married, do you put the plan in place as a couple, and you present it as an individual, present it to your partner? How does that work?
I wouldn't do that. I don't think that'd go very well. I think, you know, ideally this is something you talk about when you're dating.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Ideally you have a conversation where you're creating some financial honesty with each other about what debt you might have, right? What kind of lifestyle you like living. You know, I talk about in my book, like, what kind of spender are you? Like, are you a saver? Are you a spender? Are you the kind of person, I call them ostriches, it's just like, I don't even want to know about it, don't make me look. Are, you know, like, there are different kinds of behaviors, patterns, personalities, whatever, that we all have with money. And that's something that you and your partner should hopefully have a handle on, like, before you tie the knot, like,
right,
before you get married.
Right.
But I don't think it's ever too late to start having a conversation. The trick is, right, that money is something that a lot of people feel some shame about, some guilt about. Maybe it's something they never heard, you know, anybody talk about at home without a lot of anger or emotion. So it can get pretty uncomfortable. So, you know, I think it's a good idea to try to talk about what you want to talk about and kind of create a roadmap for the conversation. And then ideally sort of say, here's what I think, here's what I feel, here's what's important to me. And, you know, if one person thinks it's really, really important to always, you know, have the newest whatever and make sure you're, you know, presenting well, like have new clothes, have, right, you know, if that's really important to you and your partner is like, you know what, I don't actually want to spend my money on that if we're not doing X or Y, like, that's a negotiation, and you've got to figure out how you're going to handle your finances together.
That's great. Now I'm going to tap into your mind, your financial mind. I'm going to ask a series of questions that I want to know about. Here's my first one. Three questions to answer before you tap into your emergency savings that you've been talking about. Three of those. What are those questions we need to answer?
So question number one is, Do I have to spend this money? Is it really an emergency? Like, is there any way I can avoid dealing with this?
Right.
And one of the questions is, you know, is this an unexpected emergency? Is this really an emergency, right? Do I have to spend the money? That's the second one. And then do I have to spend the money now? Right.
Yes.
Because there can be an expense that's not an emergency. Like, you can, I don't know, your phone battery is dying. I talk about this a little bit in the book. Like, you need mm-hmm. a brand new phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can, like, limp along and, like, get a little cheap battery pack and, like, make it last, save up a couple months, and then buy a new phone. If you drop it down the sewer, like, you need a new phone. Like, it blows up, you need a new phone, right? So it's kind of like, how do you decide what's a real emergency?
And that kind of happened to me recently, Ann, you know, because it's called that splurging factor, because my phone, you know, and I'm just going to be honest with everybody, I got one of those fold phones, right? And the screen cracked, right? And my insurance, because they said I dropped it, they said, hey, we're not going to cover that. Okay, so so this was that emergency talk that you was talking about. So
yeah,
they said it's going to cost you $530 to repair it or $2,000 to buy a new phone. That's that decision, okay? Repair new. And that's the decision that a lot of people come to going, is there a guarantee this repair is going to fix the problem? Well, I decided I'm going with the repair. Save me roughly $1,500. And that's what you're talking about when you're talking about that emergency savings tapping into. Is it really an emergency? Is it an emergency that you can look at and kind of like look at it on options until you don't tap into it? Is that an example, a good example there?
Maybe. I mean, another way to think about it is it unexpected?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is it unexpected, right? And, you know, is dropping your phone unexpected?
Right.
Yeah, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, is it unexpected? You know, the second question, and I'm just going to quote from my book right now, right? Am I safe if I don't spend the money?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, maybe like you need a phone, right? Like right. You actually need a phone to function in the world. And then the third question is, am I screwed if I don't spend the money now?
Right.
Right. And that's like back to that example of the phone with the dying battery. Like right. It still works.
Right. Well, I tell you, my phone, that screen was completely gone, and I'm telling you, I couldn't even see numbers no more. It was pretty ugly there. It was pretty ugly there.
Then I think that counted. And then you had a decision, right?
Right.
And, you know, how much of this emergency fund or my immediate cash do I want to spend on this thing, right? And is it going for the whole brand new phone, or is it trying to limp along and then maybe knowing, all right, I know I'm going to have to replace this phone sooner or later. I better start saving up.
Oh, wow. It's awesome. And we're going to go to a break here. I'm talking to Ann Lester, the author of Your Best Financial Life. Save smart now for the future you want. Money Making Conversation Masterclass with Rashawn McDonald.
We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rashawn McDonald.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Money Making Conversations Masterclass, hosted by Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations Masterclass continues online at moneymakingconversations.com. And follow Money Making Conversations Masterclass on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Hi, this is Rashawn McDonald. You're listening to an interview with Ann Lester. More than 30 years, J.P. Morgan Asset Management, a retirement solutions and former head of retirement solutions at J.P. Morgan Asset Management. Incredible award-winning speaker, business person on my show today. Let's talk about breaking down money that you're spending, money you need to save, and how you deal with that. Recently, you sent us a couple of questions, and one of the questions that popped out of my head I really needed you to explain was called subscription detox. Seven ways to take back your finances from online subscriptions you may not even know you are paying for. Please explain to me what that is.
So I talk in my book, and you can actually take a quiz about this on my website, about spending types, right? So one of the first ones I talk about, I think the first one, in fact, is called the oversubscriber. So you might not know that you may not be, you know, feeling like you're spending a lot of money, you know, wasting it, but you also may not have any idea how many subscriptions you have, right? How many streaming services do you have? Mm-hmm. How many apps did you sign up for something without even knowing it? So I have a whole checklist of things you can think about to start getting your arms around this. So number one, avoid auto-renew. Just avoid it. Don't do it. Mm. If you can sign up for a service you think you need, if you're allowed to not have it automatically renew, don't do it. That's the easiest one. Another one that I like a lot, and I use it myself, if you happen to have more than one credit card, and please do not go get a second credit card if you do not already have one, but if you have more than one, when you sign up for a new subscription service, use the credit card that's going to expire sooner. Because that way, you'll get prompted to update your credit card information, and that's just an automatic break, right? It's a point where you can ask yourself, do I really need this anymore? Mm-hmm. How many times did I watch a show? Like, what am I... You know, you may find that you're subscribing to all kinds of stuff. Like, I just went into my... If you have an Apple phone, you can go in there and, you know, really quickly look at all the things that you subscribe to on apps. And sometimes you look at these things and go, I don't even remember signing up for this. I don't use this app. I deleted it from my phone. What the heck is this bill doing? You can go through your monthly credit card statements and just see what's popping up there and just go, really? Like, why am I getting charged this? Think about a subscription in terms of its annual cost when you sign up, right? A lot of times they'll say it's only whatever, $9.99 a month. Add a zero. Like, multiplying by 12 is a little tricky. If it's $9.99, it's over $99 a year. Like, do you really need to spend that money? It's $120. Like, do you really need to spend that money? I think a great one for streaming is rotating your streaming services. Right. So, you know, subscribe to one, watch all the shows, cancel it, go on to another one, right? Anymore, you do not need all of them at the same time. If you really feel like this is the place a lot of your money is going, just try, you know, unsubscribing from one thing a month and see what happens. Like, you may not know that you really did it. You may not miss having it. And then, you know, last but not least, there's some free subscription services out there that can help you get, you know, you can link up your credit card statement to it and it'll show you what you're doing and maybe make it more easy for you to cancel those things automatically. It's a way to track your spending and see what you're actually doing.
I like that. So, do you have any names of those?
You know, I don't off the top of my head. And okay. To be really honest, I'm trying not to recommend things. I'll give you generic advice.
You know, when you pique my curiosity, I got to go, I like that.
I
know,
I let you right there.
Because I'm going to tell you, honestly, I'm dealing with that. I'm dealing with, you know, I'm a guy, several credit cards. I'm going to just tell you, not saying I'm bragging, but, you know, you get these credit cards for business. You get the credit cards for personal. I have a daughter, my wife. And so, and the number one mistake I've made is I may have a subscription on this credit card. I may have a subscription on that credit card. And so I can't track them. I can't hold everything. Like, I might have my utility bills on this card. I might have my business utility bills on that card. So, and hearing your advice is absolutely correct. When I look at it, if I had to do it all over again, I would make sure that if I had any subscriptions, I would only put it on one card. I would make sure I only put it on one card. That way I can track it and understand it. But bad habits, you're trying to get Apple or you're trying to get Prime and you just, or Amazon or whatever, or any of these companies that require subscriptions, you just give them a card. And that can be a problem because in the end, you have to eventually track them down. And sometimes you're paying for stuff that you really don't need or use.
Absolutely. I think we all are, right? It's really hard to stay on top of that stuff. And you know, sometimes I sign up for the monthly subscription just to make it easier to cancel, even though it's more expensive, because I'm like, I don't know if I really want this. Let me try it. And they're like, you know, it's cheaper. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't. I'm going to sign up for the annual thing, and then I'm going to totally forget about it. And then the bill's going to happen. Then I will have paid it. And then, you know, some of the good ones like remind you that it's coming up, but not all of them do.
And, you know, then the big number one trick move, as you know, Ann, is like, you know, these subscriptions say free sign up, but they want your credit card information. So it's not really a free sign up, because if you forget, then the charge is going to hit your credit card.
I tell you what I've just started doing is putting a note in my calendar, like calendar entries, cancel this, right? Like I just signed up for one right after the new year, and I was just like, I checked the date that the subscription was going to kick in, and I actually put a calendar note 3 days before that saying, you got to cancel this, because I wasn't sure I needed it, and I didn't need it, so I ended up doing it. But, you know, if I hadn't put the calendar entry in, I totally would have forgotten to do it.
So. Right. It was another note that really popped my eye, how student loan payments boost your credit score. I never would have thought that. Please help me out.
Well, you know, credit scores are based on how responsibly you pay your bills. So if you've got a lease and you're paying rent, that can show up on your credit cards. If you are, you know, you have student loans, that can show up and actually boost your, you know, your credit rating. So it actually makes a lot of sense to think about all of the things that you're paying routinely that can be reported, and that absolutely gets tracked. So, you know, especially if you're in a financial pinch, you know, it doesn't make sense to start skipping some payments like that, because it can really damage everything.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I know I've mentioned your book, Your Best Financial Life, Save Smart Now for the Future You Want. Do you have a website, Ann?
I certainly do. Thank you for asking. It's my name, annlester.com. So it's AnneLester.
Now, when you go to your website, what's available on there? Is it financial advice, or is it like newsletter information? What's on that website?
You can sign up for a newsletter. I've actually got a quiz that helps you understand your spending type, and I share some of those hacks. Like, you take a little quiz, you see, are you an oversubscriber? Are you like a crypto bro? Are you a firefly? Are you an ostrich? Right, and then it'll give you a couple of hacks to figure out how to get your arms around your saving and spending behavior. And then you can also sign up for my newsletter. And then I'll be building out some more resources, and I will in fact be adding some, you know, again with no personal recommendation, but just, you know, these are some resources out there that you may be able to check out and find useful. So I will be building that in. So it's not there today, but it will be.
Yeah. And so bottom line, writing this book, why? Why did you write the book?
You know, I wrote it honestly for, like, it's the book I wish I had when I was in my 20s. I grew up, like, my dad was a college professor, but, you know, there was always enough money. I don't think they had a lot of money, but my parents were born in the early 30s, right? And they just, like, the thought of, like, budgeting and talking about, like, financial habits never occurred to them, because you just didn't spend money on stuff. Like, you just didn't. And so I never grew up with any, like, allowance or, like, sense of fixed monies. I just grew up with, like, if my parents thought it was a good thing to spend money on, they spent the money. And if they didn't, they didn't. And I was like, there was never any conversation about, you have $100. You have to figure out how to spend it on X, Y, and Z. Like, you have to make choices. So, and then I got a credit card, and it was just terrible. So I made all these mistakes, and it took me years and years and years to stop beating myself up,
right,
and feeling shame and blaming myself for making these decisions. And I just don't, it's so unnecessary. Like, people should not feel ashamed of the decisions they made. You said it really well earlier. You know, you just have to accept what happened and move on. So for me, the key is, our brains are wired to grab stuff in front of us. Our brains are not wired to help us make rational, long-term financial decisions.
Right?
If they're wired to help us run away from the saber-toothed tiger. So, and you know, if we're hunting, we're supposed to grab what's in front of us and run. We're not supposed to say, what's the rational choice here, right? So just knowing that, to me, helped me understand why I kept fighting myself, right? I know I shouldn't do this, but...
Wow.
So... And then hack yourself, right? So I wrote it for me. I wrote it for my kids. I wrote it for my kids' friends. Like, I really want to help people not make these mistakes.
I love it.
Because you don't have to make them.
Love it. And thank you for coming on my show. And also, I like to believe that I can bring you back because I try to,
I hope so. You know,
your advice is dead on. And I have a lot more questions I could have asked. And but time, well, you know, time is what time is. But I want to thank you for coming on my show and good luck with your book. And thank you for promoting your website and allowing us to be able to reach out to you in the future. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're fantastic. And thank everybody for listening to the show, Money Making Conversations Masterclass. As usual, I'll be back next week and you can listen to my show on moneymakingconversation.com. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rushon McDonald is produced by 3815 Media Inc. More information about 3815 Media Inc. is available at 3815media.com. And always remember to lead with your gifts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.